Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What does baptism do? What does your catechism teach you? It works the forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. So I guess you got to dig deeper. Which are these words and promises of God? Christ our Lord says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." Repent and be baptized, every one of you, preached St. Peter, for the forgiveness of your sins. St. Paul writes, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Forgiveness of sins, rescue from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. These are the gifts that God bestows in baptism. You have been baptized. You have therefore received forgiveness of sins, rescue from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. But even having been baptized, you might grow to despise your baptism. Woe to those who cast aside the gifts there freely given. How might you despise your baptism? Two ways. You might despise your baptism, first, by underestimating its worth. You might neglect to live in your baptized reality every day. You might fail to thank God for the gifts delivered in baptism. You might feel the need to add something, to do something on top of your baptism, to give your life to Jesus, to pray a prayer of salvation, fully to accomplish your salvation. You might doubt that God could work through something as simple as water. Or you might despise your baptism in a different direction, by underestimating the power of your sinful flesh. If you suppose God will save you through baptism while you reject the repentance for your sins that baptism intends to deliver, you've grossly underestimated the power of your sinful flesh. If you suppose that God will save you through baptism while, as if it's some magic trinket that works just because you have it, like a rabbit's foot in your pocket, while you reject the faith that baptism delivers, you've underestimated the power of your sinful flesh. If you suppose that God will save you through baptism while you spend a lifetime despising His other means of grace, saying no to those gifts that God intends to deliver week after week, you've underestimated the power of your sinful flesh. Baptism saves you because through faith you receive the forgiveness of sins, rescue from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. Repent of thinking that baptism is so ineffective that more must be done, and repent of thinking that baptism will save you apart from the repentance and faith that it delivers to you. When you encounter John the Baptist in today's gospel reading, he's been spending his time in the verses immediately preceding today's pericope, blasting away at sinners. And John is no discriminator of persons. He doesn't care who you are. He will pick out your sin and call you to repentance. Pharisees, tax collectors, soldiers, King Herod, anyone in between, all objects of John's fierce law preaching. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand right now. And many of the people responded to John by being baptized by him in the Jordan and confessing their sins. And then that all grinds to a halt when Jesus comes to John for this baptism for sinners. John is, as you ought also to be, understandably confused. I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? You are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Why would you submit to a baptism for sinners? You are the one coming after me, the one whose sandal straps I am not worthy even to touch, the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, the one whose winnowing fork is in his hand to separate wheat from chaff, to clear the threshing floor and to burn up the chaff, the false believers with unquenchable fire. And do you come to me to be baptized in the Jordan? You are the Christ, the long-awaited Savior of Israel, the one to judge the just and the wicked. And do you submit to a baptism for the wicked? You are the Lord, God in the flesh, whose very presence caused me to leap in a confession of faith while I was yet in the womb of my mother Elizabeth. And you, worthy of the worship of everyone here, won't permit me to bow down now in worship, but implore me to baptize you? You are the one whose name means he saves his people from their sins. And do you come to be saved from sins? Let it be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness, Jesus answered. And just like that, John consented. Jesus' baptism fulfills all righteousness. It's part of the fulfillment of his name. This great exchange continues. He was born the perfect union of God and man, fully human and fully divine, born with your flesh. He was circumcised, as we heard last week, in order to take his place under the law, your place. And now at his baptism, he keeps on doing exactly that. He takes your place. When the Lord goes down into the waters of the Jordan, he takes his place among sinners. He joins himself with sinners in a baptism for sinners. The great exchange, begun at his birth, continued, confirmed at his baptism, culminated in Jerusalem. In the Jordan, Jesus stood numbered with sinners, in the crowd of sinners. If John preached a baptism for sinners, then the one who takes away the sin of the world came to join himself into that baptism. He himself was sinless, but he was the greatest sinner ever because he took all of your sinfulness, all of mankind's sinfulness upon himself. In the Jordan, Jesus stood in the place of every sinner ever. And then on the cross, Jesus died in the place of every sinner ever. There, the exchange is completed. He endured the wrath of God so that sinners might receive from God only mercy, grace, God's favor. He suffered hell, separation from God, so that sinners might receive salvation, eternal union with God in paradise. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest upon him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The baptism of Jesus made holy the otherwise ordinary waters of baptism. Because Jesus went down into the water, water is different. So at baptism we pray, through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. Every molecule of H2O from the moment of Jesus' baptism in it has the potential to be a life-saving flood of his grace. In holy baptism, you stand in the water with Jesus. Standing with Jesus in the water of holy baptism, heaven is open to you as well. All the merit of Jesus' righteousness and goodness is credited to you, washed onto you through these holy waters. Heaven stands open to you. You have the promise of eternal salvation. In the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit descends upon you and delivers to you the gifts of faith and the forgiveness of sins. The same Holy Spirit continues to work within you, keeping you firm in repentance, displaying the proof of His work inside you through the outward mortification of your flesh, the putting off of your sinful nature, and through your doing the good works He prepares in advance for you. To all those in the waters of holy baptism, the Heavenly Father boasts, "This is my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased." God has gotten into the water of holy baptism. Who would now despise the word of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Who would call the baptism of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit powerless water, an empty symbol, something you do for God? Do you not see how God seasons the water? If you add sugar to water, it is no longer mere water, but a sweet nectar. Why would you want to separate the word from the water here and call it an ordinary water, as though God's word and God Himself were not in and with that water? Not so. For the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in and with the water as He promises. As at the Jordan where Christ stood in the water and the Holy Spirit hovered overhead while God the Father preached withal. Accordingly, baptism is water that can take away sin, death, and all evil and help you to eternal life. It has become a priceless sugar water, a fragrant nectar, medicine, because God has infused Himself into it. God is a God of life, a God who makes alive, because He is in the water. It must truly be a true aqua vitae, a water of life, which drives death and hell away and makes you eternally alive. It makes you as Christ alone was, a true child of God, an heir of heaven itself. Yes, you, beloved, through the waters of holy baptism, you are a son of God. As if the firstborn Son Himself gives you His place, His standing. Even if you have despised your baptism, it doesn't change the fact that in the waters of baptism, you became and forever remain a child of God. You may always return with confidence to the water of your baptism. You may always trust in the death of Christ, the benefits of which God delivered to you in holy baptism. There and here, heaven stands opened to you, child of God. Forgiveness of sins, rescue from death and the devil, and eternal salvation are your family heritage, the gifts delivered to you in these waters. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.